bless him.
Father, we
please be seated,
you.
Everybody. On behalf of God's servant, I welcome you to this service. I was told this morning at around, I won't say what time, that I'll be sharing something. So the Lord will take control in Jesus' name. To all the mothers in the house, I just want to wish you a very happy Mother's Day. For everything you do, may the Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Now remember, you don't have to be someone that has given birth to be a mother. There are many people that are mothers even without having a child. There's this thing I saw online, and I saved it, and that's what I posted online. It says, Happy Mother's Day. Today, we toast and think of the seasoned pro mothers, the new mothers, the pregnant mothers or the pregnant moms, the single moms, you are amazing, the moms who have lost children, the moms we have lost, the women who yearn to be mothers, the young women who will one day become mothers, and the wonderful men who play both mom and dad. Like God's servant already said, he plays both mom and dad to many people. So today is the day we are celebrating everyone. If you are a woman, female, you are automatically a mother because you have a special role that God has created you to fulfill. Amen? So the theme or the title of my message would just be Exceptional Womanhood, because that's what the flyer said. What does it mean to be exceptional? It means to be unusual, to be atypical, to be unusually good, to be outstanding, to be better than average, and to be superior. And finally, it means to deviate from the norms. That means you won't do what everybody else does. Yours will be different. Psalms 139 verse 13 to 15. Let's look at that, please, in the Amplified Version. Psalms 139, 13 to 15 in the Amplified Version. For you have formed my innermost parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will give thanks and praise to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So when you think about yourself, you have to have that realization, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen? Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame is not hidden from you. When I was being formed in secret, and intricately and skillfully formed, as if embroidered with many colors in the depths of the earth. What I want us to focus on, every single one of us, is I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God thought about me. He knew what I was going to do on earth. There was a problem I'm a solution to. That's why I was made. Amen. So we're going to look at what it means to be an exceptional woman. Proverbs 31, which is a very popular one, the virtuous woman. Please, let's look at verse 10, then we'll look at verse 28. An excellent woman, one who is spiritual, capable, intelligent, and virtuous. Who is he who can find her? Her value is more precious than jewels, and her worth is far above rubies or pearls. Then we skip to 28, please. Her children rise up and call her blessed. That's happy, prosperous, and to be admired. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly and well, with the strength of character that is steadfast in goodness, but you excel them all. 30. Charm and grace are deceptive, and superficial beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, who reverently worships, obeys, serving, and trusts in him, with awe-filled respect, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. That's what it means to be a virtuous woman. Now, there are different levels of womanhood. I like to think of it as different stages of womanhood. The first one is you're a woman. You don't have to do anything about it. God made you that just by reason of your gender. It's not something you choose to be. It's something that is inferred on you at birth. It's more physical. You have nothing to do with it. You are just a woman. The second one is a wife. Now, this one is something a female has a more conscious decision about. Because nobody can just make you get married. You have to decide to get married. So that's another stage of womanhood. You go from being a woman, first of all, it's like a girl, a female, a girl, then you become a woman, then you become a wife if you choose to. It's something that is not just thrust upon you. You decide, you make a conscious decision to go into being a wife. No one can confer it on you without your involvement. Then the third stage of womanhood is being a virtuous woman. Now, this one has to do with the Holy Spirit. It comes as a yearning, like a drawing, an inclination, something that pulls you to wanting to do more, to want to be exceptional, to be different. The definition of being virtuous is, let me just look for that. It says, it's being exceptional, to have qualities that are outstanding. It has to do with virtue. Remember when Jesus encountered the woman with the issue of blood, what happened? He said, virtue has come out of me. Luke 8, verse 46. He said, someone has touched me. I can feel that virtue has come out of me. When virtue is in play, healing takes place. When virtue is in play, there will be solutions to problems that nobody else has been able to solve. That's what virtue does, because that's what happened to that woman. She had spent all her money, all her savings on trying to find help with the issue of blood that she had suffered for years. But once she touched virtue, once she came into solution, in contact with virtue, her solution came. That's what a virtuous woman would do. She becomes someone who is a solution to many problems. And that is the stage every single one of us should aspire to go to. It gives life. That's what virtue does. It's power, it's excellence, it's glory. That's what each and every woman should strive to become, to get to that stage of womanhood. So we think, how can I be exceptional? Because any woman that is virtuous is exceptional automatically. Any woman that is virtuous is exceptional automatically. We'll look at some women in the Bible who are exceptional, who showed us what it means to be exceptional. Please, can we have First Samuel 1, verse 2, verse 26 to 28 in the New Living Translation. First Samuel 1, 26 to 28 in the New Living Translation. I think my notes did not sync on my iPad, so I just want to open it again. Sir, do you remember me? Hannah asked. I am the very woman who stood here several years ago praying to the Lord. Remember the encounter she had? He thought she was drunk. Year after year after year, she kept going back, but she never had a child. She was mocked. She was made fun of, but she never gave up, because she knew in her, she was born to be an exceptional woman. And that meant she knew she was born to give birth to something. She wanted her legacy to continue. Can you imagine getting no, 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 Let's say there's a job you're looking for. You keep applying to a certain position. And every time a certain company, and every time you apply, they say no. Maybe you've done that for almost 10 years, but that company has refused to even accept any of your applications. How many people will keep doing that for years? But she did that. Year after year, she will go and pray and fast. Next thing, she will believe, God, this month I will not see my period. She goes back home. It happens. Can you imagine how she must have been feeling? But she knew there was something more and she was not going to give up. I am the woman who stood here several years ago praying to the Lord. I have asked the Lord and he gave me this boy. I asked the Lord and he gave me this boy and he has granted my request. Now I am giving him to the Lord and he will belong to the Lord his whole life. And they worshiped the Lord there. What made her different? She made a vow to God. Remember, she said it. Give me, and it was a very specific vow. Give me a male child and I will give him back to you. Because back then, it was only males that could serve as priests. Give me a male child and I will give him back to you. She made a vow. But she went back to fulfill that vow. How many times would people tell God, I'm making this vow. It could be a seed. It could be a promise to serve him. And you go back. You rescind that offer you gave him. A vow is a vow. She went back and she fulfilled it. That was her only child. But she gave him back to God. Because she said, he who gave it to me, I will not forget what he did for me. I will make sure I fulfill that vow. That's what made her exceptional. She made a vow. She remembered the vow and she fulfilled it. She didn't say, this is too hard to do. I changed my mind. God will understand. No. She made a vow. She stuck with it. She fulfilled it. That is what made her exceptional. She was able to give birth to a boy who became one of the greatest priests and prophets that ever lived, Samuel. Because she made a vow, fulfilled the vow. Now let's look at Judges 5:7. We can remain in the New Living Translation. We're going to see somebody else that showed what it means to be exceptional. And that's Deborah. She was a female. She was a judge. She was a prophetess. She had no business dealing with anything that has to do with the army or the military or anything to do with battles. But she saw there was a need. She didn't step away and say, oh, I don't care. As a woman, I'm not supposed to be involved with this anyway. No, she rose up to the occasion. She took the responsibility and she was able to do something that if we look at it now, this day and age, it would be called shattering glass ceilings. Because there was no way she should have been able to head an army. No way. She was a female. That's why it says, there were few people left in the villages of Israel until Deborah arose as a mother for Israel. Everyone was gone. There was no one to help. But she said, there is a need. I won't step back and I won't chicken out. I have to rise up and do what needs to be done, or else we will be defeated. She was able to command, give instructions, so they will be successful and defeat all the oppositions that they had. Because a woman rose up and she said, I will arise as a mother. She knew what she was supposed to do and she took her place. That's what will make a woman exceptional. Her leadership was able to inspire the Israelites and they had a mighty victory over their oppressors because one woman arose. Say, I will arise. I will arise. Another one we see is Esther. My notes didn't sing. Can we find the place where she said, if I perish, I perish. Let's have that scripture, please. She had a passion for God and his people. A passion for God and his people. But she didn't make that make her lose her mind. You know, some people will say, I got so carried away because I'm passionate about something and she forgot all protocols. No. She still had deep wisdom to know how to navigate it. Hey, man. Esther 4:16. Haman had already set things up to kill those people. But Esther was very, very humble. She followed the instructions of her cousin, Mordecai. She submitted to his tutelage. Everything he told her to do, she did. He said, fast. Maybe she got more of the revelation of fasting to know that I can't just do this by my strength. I can't just do this physically. I have to get up. I have to get up and do something about it, or else my entire people will be annihilated. The order had already been set. They were supposed to be killed, like wiped out. She didn't make that make her afraid. After all, this is the king. You don't just go to the king. You have to be summoned. But she said, no. If I stay and do nothing, they're going to die. She had a passion for her people. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so I will go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. That was it for her. It was done. Ready to lay her life for something she believed in. That's what makes someone exceptional. You have to be convinced in what you have been called to do. You have to give it your all. People might say you are stupid. People might say you're not doing things right. People might say she must have lost her mind or he has lost his mind. But you have to believe in something enough to give it your all. In her case, it was, if I perish, I perish. Because if she had gone before the king without being summoned, she would be killed, whether or not she was his wife. But she had passion enough. What is that thing God has called you to do? What is the thing he has told you to do that you are still on the fence about? If you do not rise up, accept the call, accept what you've been told to do, time will still pass. A year will go, 5 years, 10 years, you will still be there not fulfilling it. There was an exam I was supposed to take. I had done the training 2 years previous. I applied for the right to take that exam. A week before that right for to take the exam was to expire, I went to take the exam. Not good. That's not good. But I'm saying that 2 years passed. I was still there, not doing anything about it. What has God told you to do? Arise like Deborah. Have a conviction like Esther. If I perish, I perish. And go for it. Go for it. It won't be easy. It will be fearful. You're going to be scared. You will have self-doubt. But if it's God that told you to do it, be rest assured, the one who gave the vision, he will be able to help you bring it through. Esther's passion for God and her people, her deep wisdom to know how to navigate, and her possession of spiritual and relational wisdom made her to submit to her mentor, and it helped her to be able to persuade the king to retract that order for the killing of the people, the Jews, throughout the entire empire. Wisdom, passion for God, passion for his people. That's what's needed to make you an exceptional woman. Next, we're going to look at Ruth. Can we have Ruth 1, verse 15 to 17 in the Amplified Version? These are all women that we see. That's why you shouldn't look at yourself and think, I'm just a woman. This is a man's world. I can't do this. I can't do that. No. There are women that are doing big things for God, changing the narrative. Then Naomi said, a little background. Naomi had a husband and two sons, as we all know. They died. Now these are her daughters-in-law that were still with her. But she was so distraught that she had gone through this terrible tragedies. And she didn't think these women would want to be with her still. She kept saying, go back to your people, leave me alone. Orpah went back, but Ruth stayed. So this is where we keep going. Naomi said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Turn back and follow your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord do the same to me as he has done to you. And more also, if anything but death separates me from you. Just listen to that. What caught my attention was she said, may the Lord do the same to me as he has done for you. Wait a minute. You just lost your husband and two sons. Why would I want that? What? It has to be someone who is so loyal. Why would you pray that kind of evil upon yourself too? She saw beyond what was happening. There must have been something about Naomi she saw. She knew this evil she's going through, this heartbreak, it's not normal. She must have been able to discern it was a spiritual attack she went through. That's why she could pray that prayer. Or that's why she could say what she said. If not so, it's almost like you're cursing yourself. Why would you say whatever has happened to you? No, I don't want that. There must have been something she saw. She knew something about Naomi. For her not to, because let me tell the truth. Most people, if you're not doing well, they will abandon ship. They will go to the next person that is doing well. That's human nature. But for her to stay, I will still remain. For her to say, whatever God has done for you, let him do for me. Think of the blessings that she must have lived in. Think of the wealth she must have lived in. Think of how her life was before this whole tragedy came upon her. Ruth saw it. But more than that, Ruth was really loyal. She was so loyal, unwavering loyalty. Then she also had a deep submission and obedience to instructions to the woman who it appeared was going through a hard time. One of the hardest things to be is being loyal. Especially if the person that you are looking up to or following is going through a season where it might look like everything is going wrong. She was able, but what sets Ruth apart was the ability to be able to distinguish between a spiritual attack, a fight against someone's destiny, to who the person truly is. She was able to distinguish that. That's why she followed her steadfastly. She was able to see that. You know, they always say, people watch you, but people watch you most in your private life, not what you display to others. Those days, they all got, because she was married to Naomi's son, they all most likely lived together in the same compound or house. So she saw what she was in the private, not just what she was in the public. That's why she was able to stick with her. So if you are going to be an exceptional woman, make sure you display unwavering loyalty. Have a deep submission. And also obey the instructions. Because when we keep reading in Ruth, we go to Ruth 2, verse 19 to 20. We can see that in the New Living Translation. Ruth 2, 19 to 20 in the New Living Translation. Ruth had gone out to gather grain because obviously they were in a different land and they had to eat. They had to have some kind of livelihood. So Naomi asked her, "Where did you gather all this grain today? Where did you work? May the Lord bless the one who helped you." She didn't even know where she had gone to, but she was just blessing whoever had helped her. Because remember, Ruth going out to get grain means Naomi will also eat. So Ruth told her mother-in-law about the man in whose field she had worked. She said, "The man I worked with today is named Boaz." Then she said, "May the Lord bless him." Naomi told her daughter-in-law, "He is showing his kindness to us as well as to your dead husband. That man is one of our closest relatives, one of our family redeemers." Because of time, we won't go into it. But if you skip to chapter 3, you will see how Ruth was able to get the attention of Boaz. She got his attention because she was different. She didn't act like the other women. She made herself different. She was not throwing herself at him. He was an influential man, but she didn't do that because she was an exceptional woman. She caught his eye, and he started showing her favor. Once Naomi knew that, she said, "Let's take this to a different level. I'm going to give you the instructions to make sure you capture the heart of this man. It's not enough for you to capture his eyes. I want you to capture his heart. I will tell you what to do, how to do it. And if you follow my instructions, you will have him, or he will have you. Either way." And she did everything that God said. That Naomi had told her to do. She told her, "When he's sleeping, lay at the foot of the bed." She didn't say go lay next to him. She said lay at his foot, and she obeyed. She obeyed. So it's the instructions that have to be obeyed to ensure we get what God wants for us. And to cut the whole story short, at the end, she ended up with Boaz. This was a man that was influential in that land. He was rich. He had servants. He had lands. She went from someone who was a widow, someone who people had thought was stupid and crazy for following a woman that had bad luck, a woman that appeared to be cursed. She followed her, and she became the wife of an influential person. That's what an exceptional woman is. Her loyalty, her deep submission, her honor and obedience made her to end up with Boaz. But the best part was she was named as one of the women that was in the genealogy of Jesus. Yes. She was named. Just think about that. Because she was loyal, she did not abandon ship. Now, when you call Jesus, when you put the genealogy of Jesus, her name is written there, never to be erased. She has made her life to be talked about for generations to come. Loyalty, honor, submission, obedience, that's what got her to the place that she was in. And the final person we're going to look at as an example of an exceptional woman is is Mary, mother of Jesus. Mary, mother of Jesus. What is that one thing she possessed that made her exceptional? Can anyone tell me? What did she possess that made her exceptional? What? Her virginity? No. What? Good heart? No. What? Her woman? Her womanhood? No. Surrender? No. Jesus. It's very easy. What? Her faith? No. Favor. You are highly favored. Luke 1:26. Let's look at Luke 1:26 to 31 in the Amplified. That was the main thing that made her so different and exceptional. Now, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, a descendant of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, the angel said, "Greetings, favored one. Greetings, favored one." That's it. You are highly favored. That was the thing that made her exceptional. There were many other virgins, but there was an unusual favor upon her. High favor that made her be selected. There were many virgins. But why Mary? Why? Because of high favor. If you are going to be an exceptional woman, you have to ask God for favor, high favor, exceptional favor. So out of thousands, you'll be the one that will be selected. Out of millions, you'll be the one that will be selected. They always say, oh, you cannot win this. What did they say about the lottery, the statistics? Oh, you have higher chances of being struck by, no, not you. They have higher chances of being struck by lightning than to win that. Because the chances are so low. But she defied all chances. The high favor upon her. Just think about that. She was chosen to be the incubator that will carry the Savior and Messiah of the world, Jesus. Can you imagine? High favor. There were people in the land. Why Mary? Why Mary? Because God's hand was upon her. If you are going to be an exceptional woman, you have to ask the Lord for high favor. Let his hand of favor be upon you. That will ensure that no matter what is happening, no matter who are the competitors, you will always be selected. You will always be chosen. You will stand out and you will be outstanding. That's what it is to be an exceptional woman. So we're going to wrap up and just pray. I know we've been talking about being an exceptional woman. Amen. But when it comes to God, God's things, It's not about gender. All these things we brought up, even though we use examples of females, they're applicable to men. So we are going to pray. We are going to ask the Lord to help us. If we are going to be exceptional, we're going to pray the points that we talked about. We're going to pray for making a vow and fulfilling that vow. We'll also pray for grace to arise and take responsibility. Also for a passion for God and his people. And deep wisdom to know how to navigate life. And like Ruth also, unwavering loyalty, a deep submission and obedience. We're going to also ask for God's favor to crown everything up. So that everything we do, we will stand out and we will always shine in Jesus.